Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word, Gospel of John, the very first chapter, and I'm going to start reading at verse number 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, with John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, I want to thank you for your goodness and your grace and your kindness to us. And I want to thank you for the wonderful story that we've just read, this wonderful account of John the Baptist here giving an eyewitness account of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And Father, I want to thank you for the privilege this morning it is to serve you. And Father, to be here in this place and be able to preach the Word of God concerning you, thank you so much for that. And Lord, thank you for the salvation you've given to those who have believed upon you. Thank you so much. And Father, again, we want to pray for Sister Dolores, asking you, God, to undertake for her during this very difficult time. And Lord, just bless in a real special way. And now, Father, as this preacher begins to preach, I need your power and I need your wisdom. And I ask you, God, to do it through me this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. That which I read to you in verse number 26 through verse number 34 is John's witness of Jesus Christ. I think it is one of the greatest witnesses that is given in the Bible of the Lord Jesus Christ by a man. First of all, he points out the fact in verse 29 that this is the Lamb of God. We're going to be preaching on that subject here in just a few moments, the Lamb of God. He said, this is he. This is the Lamb of God. In verse number 30 and 31, as he says, this is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. We find here that he presents him as the most preeminent one. No one is better than he. John the Baptist saying, I'm not even worthy to unloose the latch of his shoes. He was saying, and of course, preeminence means eminent above others. It means excelling others. It means surpassing others. It means being first, best, chief. That's what it means. And Jesus Christ, John said, is the preeminent one. That's why he said over in Colossians, the first chapter, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Now, I say to you this morning, the Apostle John understood that this was the Lamb of God who must have preeminence over everyone else. And in verse number 32 and verse 33, and John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not. When John says, I knew him not, it did not mean that he did not personally had not seen Jesus Christ. It means I did not know him as the Messiah. I didn't know that this was the Messiah that God was going to send upon this earth. I did not know that until I saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove. And here we find not only is Christ the Lamb of God, the preeminent one, the Apostle John says he's Christ the Messiah. He is the one that the world has been waiting for, the Jews has been looking for. He's the Messiah of God. And then in verse number 34, he makes that wonderful statement and he says, I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. And the Bible tells us that not only here in this short verses of Scripture, that Jesus is the Lamb of God, the preeminent one who must above all else have the preeminence. And not only that, that he is the Messiah that God sent. And that Messiah is the Son of God. God the Son. What a tremendous, tremendous account here that John gives us and presents us here with concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to preach on the subject of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. He is the Lamb of God. In next week, hopefully, Lord willing, I'll put it that way, I need to say that. Lord willingly, next Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching on Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, from the book of Revelation. I don't know whether you ever looked at it or not, but in the book of Revelation, the Lamb or lambs is mentioned 28 times. I'm going to qualify that. One time I counted, it was 28. Next time I counted, it was 29. I don't know which is right. But maybe next week I'll have that down pat. But I know it's at least 28 times. In the book of Revelation, he talks about the Lamb. Amen. What a tremendous. And we're going to be preaching from that, Lord willing, next week on the Lamb of God from the book of Revelation. What a tremendous message that is if you read through that. Amen. So the Lamb of God, of course, and if you as a Christian, if you think about the symbols a lot of times in the Bible that is given us and presents us Jesus Christ, like the bread of life, the water of life, and things like this, I think one of the greatest, most cherished symbols that we can read about in the Bible is Him seen as the Lamb of God. What a tremendous truth it is. What a picture it is of Him here as the Lamb of God. The Bible says over in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 7th verse, that for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. It is a picture. Here we see a picture, seeing Him as the Lamb of God. It's the picture of the Passover. Him being sacrificed for us. I'm going to just take a few moments and go back in our minds for a little while. Go back with me to the book of Exodus and remember the book of Exodus and remember what happened back there when God was getting ready to deliver Israel from the Egyptian bondage. You're all familiar with that. You're familiar with the Passover and what happened back in that time. What a tremendous picture that is of the Lord Jesus Christ. God had pronounced judgment on the firstborn of Egypt. Now you remember that. There was judgment that was going to come. The firstborn of every family was going to die. And we find then as he prepared to send that final judgment upon Egypt there, he gave a stipulation. He said, now if you kill a lamb, a lamb without blemish, a pure lamb, talking to the Israelites, you kill that lamb and you take its blood and you put it on the doorpost and over the top and down the doorpost of the door of your house, he said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. And what that was a picture that it was saying, judgment has already come to this house. God, you can pass on over. Judgment's already been made on this house. The blood is already applied. And so when God saw the blood, he passed over that house. Now those who did what God said to do were saved. The firstborn was not destroyed. Amen. And those who did not do that, the firstborn was killed or destroyed, as the Bible says. I'm just simply saying to you, the whole picture here was about the blood of the Lamb. And, of course, Jesus is the Lamb of God, you see. And so that innocent blood's lamb's blood was a sign of judgment, had already come, you see, to that household. So God could pass over that, see. And now we see the example of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God here, the Lamb without blemish, sinless. Amen. I mean sinless, perfect. Amen. That's who Jesus is. You must see him as a sinless, perfect Son of God. Amen. Not a sin anywhere. Never committed a sin. Amen. Never did. So the Lamb without blemish was a picture of Jesus Christ, the sinless one. And then, of course, the blood sprinkled on the doorpost was the blood being shed for believers. Jesus Christ dying on that cross, shedding his blood for we who believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And then at that same time, they was told to eat of that lamb. They was told to partake of it, eat of it. That was a picture of the spiritual nourishment that believers need, and as we find in Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Every person who's born again into God's family must have spiritual nourishment. You must have it. God says, eat of it. Jesus is the bread of life. You can't get by without it. You'll shrivel up. You'll die without it. You've got to have the nourishment of the Bible, the Word of God. And Jesus is the bread of life. And then, of course, the unleavened bread that they was told to eat. In fact, they was told not to eat. And they was told, in fact, in the Scriptures, not to even allow leaven in the house. They said, take the leaven and put it out of the house. Well, that's a picture of putting evil out of a person's life and out of his household. Person gets saved, ought to get rid of the evil in his life. You don't get saved by getting rid of the evil, but you ought to get rid of the evil. You ought to clean your households up. You ought to go around and look at your magazines and see what kind of magazines are there. You ought to look at the TV and see what kind of programs you're watching. You ought to look at the VCR, them little video things, and you ought to look at them and see what they are, and if they're no good, you ought to pitch them out and stomp on them, get rid of them, burn them up, do whatever needs to be done. See, that's what getting the leaven out of your house is. When a person gets saved, you've got to change things. I mean, we don't want to be the same. When you get saved, you don't want to be the same. You want to put that evil away. Amen? Amen. Y'all ought to hear some amens on this. You've got to do that. God wants you to do that. He wants you to get rid of that filth out of your house, out of our lives. You see, when we get saved, we need to get rid of all of that stuff. But the major point in all of this was, as we seen back in the book of Exodus, the major point of it was that it was the blood of the Lamb that saved the people. That's what God saw, was the blood of the Lamb on the doorpost. And when he saw that, he could pass over, you see. Jesus Christ was our Lamb of God. And his blood, you see, was shed as a substitute just back then. Just like it was back then, that lamb was shed as a substitute for the people. See, the people were saved. People didn't have to be destroyed if the blood was there. You see, the blood of the Lamb. Well, Christ's blood is our substitute. Amen. I mean, his blood was shed in our stead. Yeah, you get a hold of that. I know you say, well, Brother Ross, that's elementary. Some folk don't even realize it. They don't understand it. They hear it talked about all the time, but they don't understand when Jesus died up or shed his blood up there on that cross, that was for you. That was for me. That was as our substitute. It ought to have been our blood that was shed. See, it's what we deserved, you see. But Jesus, you see, did it for us, you see. And so if we believe, when we believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, the blood is applied. God applies the blood, and when judgment comes, he'll pass over us. Why? Because of Jesus, you see. We're saved because we put our faith, our trust in Jesus Christ and him alone, his finished work. Amen? See, that's why you're saved. His blood did it. His blood washed away all of our sins, you see. Now, the Lamb's blood is a picture of Christ's precious blood. Did you know his blood is precious? Well, that's what the Bible says. I believe anything the Bible says. Amen? You know, I'm one of these people, and I think you are too. If God said that Jonah had swallowed the whale, I'd have believed it. Now, he didn't say that. But if he had said that, I'd have believed it. Oh, I would. I'd believe it if that's what God said. God didn't say that. But I want to tell you right now, I believe that the whale swallowed Jonah. I mean, don't you believe that? Is that what the Bible says? That great fish swallowed Jonah, whatever he was, whether he was whale or whatever. The New Testament refers to him as whale. Don't you believe that? Sure. Why do you believe it? Because it's God's word. Amen. You just believe it because it's God's word. Amen. So this Lamb's blood is a picture of Christ's precious blood, which redeems us and saves us. See, that's what he said over in 1 Peter. He says, you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold. So them kind of things can't save you. Those kind of things can't redeem you. But he said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb, he said, without blemish or without spot. His blood is precious. It's perfect. Never tainted with sin. That's who saved us, folks. That's the Lamb of God who died for us, shed his blood for us. His blood was without blemish, without spot, and it was precious blood. I mean, nothing like it. I mean, you couldn't have anything in this whole world that was worth more than the blood of Jesus Christ. It's precious blood. I don't care if you get all the Walmarts and Kmarts and get them all together and all the stuff that's in them. It don't even hold a candle to the precious blood of Jesus. You can take all the gold and all the silver that's found all across this world and all the riches and all the dollar bills, and those things ain't worth too much anyway. But you put them all together and they're nothing. You see, even comparison to the precious, wonderful blood of Jesus Christ. See, it's what it took was his blood to wash away our sins. That's why he tells us back in the book of Exodus, it's interesting back there, in the 29th chapter of the book of Exodus, it talks about that they slew two lambs a day. The Bible said they sacrificed these lambs day by day continually. That's the wording it says. Day by day continually. And they killed two lambs a day. One in the morning, one in the evening. You see, that's the way they did it. That's the way they was instructed to do it, you see. And symbolically, what was happening was this. On a daily basis, of course they had other sacrifices too, but on a daily basis, the sins of the people were transferred, symbolically, transferred to the lambs, and these lambs were killed, and of course that was the penalty that was paid for their sins. See, that's the penalty of sin, is death. I mean, you all know that, amen? Eternal death, amen? Not just physical death. Eternal death, that's it. So the sins of all the people symbolically were removed from the people and placed on the animals. And then, of course, the animals were killed, and that was the penalty of sin, which was death. Amen? That's what happened. Now, what happened then? That set the people free. I mean, the people was free then because of their faith in the promise of God. Let me say something to you. The deed that they did was not what saved him. It was the faith in the Word of God that said, if you do this, you'll be saved. You'll have your sins forgiven if you do this. And so what their faith was in what God said. Amen? We'll show you here in a minute. Even though, you know, Jesus died for the sins of all the world. Amen? But that doesn't mean you're saved. Now, he died for your sins. But that doesn't mean you're saved. Just because he died, does that automatically make you saved? No, sir. No, sir. You see, you got to have faith in the Bible, in the Word of God, that Jesus is who he said he was. And he died there on the cross, dying there for your sins. And when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you receive him as your personal Savior. And you become a child of God, you see. See, there's a lot of folk in this world that Jesus died for is not saved. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. But the people were set free, you see, because of their faith in God's Word. Now, here we have this. We have the perfect Lamb of God without sin. When we talk about the Lamb of God, that's what we have. The Lamb of God, perfect Lamb of God. He's perfect. And he's without sin. He's without blemish or without spot. Now, you get a picture of that. You get a hold of that. You remember this. Jesus, there was not one sin in him. He never did sin. He never said anything wrong. He never did anything wrong. Absolutely no sin whatsoever. He never had a wrong thought. There was never any sin whatsoever in Jesus Christ. And he is the Lamb of God. He is the one in whom the people's sins were placed on. Him, the perfect Lamb of God. Our sins was taken and placed on him. He's the one who bore the judgment of sin. Death. He died. He bore the judgment that God said it took for sin. And Jesus Christ bore that. He died, went to the cross for us. He was the one who was sacrificed as the Lamb of God for us. Listen to me. For you. Lamb of God died on the cross for you. You hear me? Folks, you hear me? You ought to get excited. Jesus done that for you. Yeah, I know he done it for the whole world, but he did it for you. Amen. All of that, that'll excite you. That'll make you happy. See, that'll make you rejoice inside. Say, you mean the Lamb of God, Jesus, the Lamb of God, died for me? Yeah, he did. He died for you, you see. And so because of that, in through him and who through his death, it sets the people free. Just back when they slayed those lambs, two a day, and they symbolically put it on them lamb, you know, they'd die, so that was people was free. Well, this was not symbolically. Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, died. Our sins was placed on him, and we're free. We're free of sin. Isn't that wonderful? I mean, that's a tremendous, tremendous truth. You say, that's elementary. I just love to preach elementary. We just need to get back to elementary preaching. The old blood of Jesus, amen? And because of that, you're free. Because of that, your sins are gone. Why? Because the Lamb of God died for you, for your sins, you see. And on this one, whose blood was counted precious by God and ought to be counted precious by man, precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to go to that cross, willingly went to that cross, offered himself as a sacrifice for you and me. Whew. The Lamb of God, he did not have to be drugged to the cross. They did not have to go out and rope him and tie him. They put him on a cross, but he was there willingly. He could have called 10,000. Well, he could have called the whole universe if he had wanted to. But he went willingly to that cross to die, to be offered a sacrifice for you and me. What a tremendous truth that is. So we see that also in this statement we find in the book of John, the first chapter, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." I like to make mention there that it is God's Lamb. He said it's the Lamb of God. It is not man's Lamb. It was God Almighty who supplied that lamb, provided that lamb, just like he did for Abraham up there on the mountain that day when he saw that ram in the thicket and he was about ready to slay Isaac. The Bible says that God will provide himself a lamb. And of course, this is the true lamb right here down through the centuries. Here's the Lamb of God that God was going to provide. But he provided a lamb out of that thicket that day and provided a ram, and Isaac did not have to be slain that day. Well, God has provided. That's why he's called the Lamb of God. The lamb belonged to him. The lamb was him. It was him offering himself. You see, he supplied the lamb. It shows something in that. It shows some wonderful things. I want to tell you something. It shows the great love of God for men. I don't suppose any of us could ever explain it. If I let you get up right now and try to explain it, I can't explain it. I can't explain that kind of love. But I want to tell you what it shows. When Jesus Christ went to that cross, what a picture of the love of God. How tremendous it is to see what God was willing to do for you and I. What a tremendous truth that is. And not only that, at the same time, the great sacrifice and humiliation that Jesus Christ was willing to go through for men. Whew. That's amazing. You read his story. Read the story of his death. Read the story of his life. Go back and read the life of Christ and look what he went through for you and I. Amen. What a tremendous truth. Oh, that's love from God, you see. And because of the great grace of God, he was willing to offer unto you and I forgiveness of sin. I want to tell you, folks, he didn't have to do that. No, he didn't have to do that. You understand? He didn't have to forgive your sin and my sin. But that's exactly what he did. He forgave us of our sin. Why? Because he loved us. Loved us so much, you see. Now, the Bible also says, not only is it God's Lamb, but he says, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world. You know that wording there says, taketh away? It means to be lifted away. Here's something that someone is carrying, a burden is there, and the Lamb of God came along and just lifted it away. That's what he done. He taketh away the sin of the world. He carried it off. He bore our sin so that we could go to heaven. It's amazing, folks. It's a wonderful story. And he became our substitute. Folks, do you understand something? On the cross, you and I should have been there. No, do you really understand it? You're not getting it. You ought to be dead today. You ought to be burned in hell today. It's where you and I ought to be today. But Jesus come along and lifted, carried off our sin and the sin of all the world. Here's what the Bible says. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. I mean, folks, what he did is he lifted all of our sin off of you, off of me, off of the sin of all the world, and he put it on himself and went to the tree with it, went to Calvary with it, went to the cross with it. Now, that's what he did. You see, the Bible talks about sin here. He took all of our sins and put it in one package and called it the sin of the whole world. I want to show you a portion of Scripture, and I want you to listen to this wonderful portion of Scripture. Over in 1 John, turn with me there. 1 John, the second chapter. Verse 1 and 2. 1 John, second chapter. Listen to this. My little children, he's talking to Christians here. My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Now listen to what he says. He is the propitiation for our sins. Now, propitiation means he's the mercy seat. You remember back in the tabernacle that they had the curtain and only the high priest could go in behind the curtain once a year and offer and sprinkle blood on the mercy seat? The Bible is saying Jesus is our mercy seat. He's the propitiation for our sin. He's where sin is forgiven. Now listen to what he says, though. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now, folks, I want you to listen to me. Do you understand that when Jesus died and went to the cross, everybody's sin was there? You say, well, Brother Ross, you mean Hitler's was there? Yes, it was. You mean Saddam Hussein's sin was there? Yes, it was. Do you mean Judas's sin was there? He said the sin of the whole world. You say, you mean mine was there? Absolutely. I mean, any person you can mention that has ever lived or ever will live, when Jesus died on the cross, he carried that individual's sin in one package and called it the sin of the world and took it to Calvary. We're going to use an illustration here and try to help you to understand. We've got four young men down here who have something, and they'll bring it with them as they come. Young men, now. And stand right down here in front. And just stand. Move over, Ben. Move it this way, over and out. That's it. Right in there. Right in. These young men have bags, and you can see written on them, sins. Amen. Now, this is going to represent the sins of the whole world, east, west, north, and south. I mean, anywhere you go. Now, the reason they're in white bags is that's the way, that's all I had. But I got to thinking about it, and I thought that's the way we look at sin anyway. We don't think they're too bad. Okay? But we have another child of God who's going to step in at this time and represent Jesus Christ. And here's what happened. Jason, you go in front of all of those, and young men, put yours in that bag. Now, folks, that's the sin of all of the world. And on the front of that, it says, sin. Collectively, the sin of the whole world, Jesus came, took it, collected it, and went to Calvary. Go on to Calvary. He just took it and carried it to Calvary. We've got some folk out there who's going to crucify him when he gets out there. But he just took the sin of all the world and took it to Calvary. Say, Brother Ross, was my sin in there? Absolutely. Say, but I'm not saved. Your sin was still there. You see, the problem comes down now. You young men can sit down. Thank you so much. The problem comes down to now. What happens? But as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. You must put your faith and your trust. Yeah, your sins has already been paid for. But you must believe it. And you must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You must receive him as your personal Savior. This is no game that's being played. It is in a lot of churches today. But this is no game, folks. You must put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You must, as Jesus said, be born again. Amen. Now, what I'm going to ask you this. The Lamb of God came, shed his blood for the whole world. Every sin that's ever been committed, Jesus Christ paid for it. Now, have you placed your faith and trust? Have you received him? Have you believed upon him unto salvation? Not just be religious, not just be a church member, but have you put your faith and trust in him and him alone? Jason represented Jesus taking the sin to Calvary, him dying there for your sin and mine. Have you truly believed that for yourself? Do you really believe he died for your sins? Do you believe that? Have you called upon him and said, "Oh Lord, I believe that. I want him to be my Savior. Put my faith, my trust in him."